Well, it has been.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great. It's been a long time coming. I've been hounding you, I think, for the past year. Like, when is your restaurant going to open? When is it going to open? And there was like, well, oh, yeah, it's going to be open by Mardi Gras, Steve. No, we still got some sign offs to do in the city, and we got this. It's going to be. And I finally just said, I feel like I'm like stalking this poor guy. Yeah. You know, when it's going to open, he'll let us know. Yeah. And lo and behold, we got a message from you this morning. The time has arrived.
That's right. Well, you know, the stars have finally aligned, and here we are. Got all of our finals and our permits, and we're ready to rock, baby. Yeah. The kitchen's fired up right now, getting the gumbo going. And Tuesday morning, 9 a.m., come on.
Oh, fantastic. Rob, is the menu there? This is in Santa Rosa. You're going to tell us all about it. Give us the address and all of that kind of stuff. But the menu is the same as you have up in Healdsburg?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. We're doing the same thing. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And you know, we're always open for evolution. This is a new market down here, but we're excited to bring what we do so well in Healdsburg down to 4th Street in Santa Rosa.
So you're opening at 9 a.m. Does that mean there might be beignet?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, beignets all day. You know, you can't. That's a must. That's a given. So beignets. And breakfast are served from 9 to 11:30 on weekdays, and then lunch from 11:30 to 3. Sunday, it's 8 a.m. to 2, and it's breakfast all day.
Wow. And
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
we've always got daily specials on top of the menu. For instance, I think this week we're going to be doing a pork boudin, which is, you know, of course, a boudin blanc or a pork and rice sausage. And that's going to be served, you know, as a Benedict over toast with poached eggs and hollandaise. And then, you know, lunch, you got to come get your fried oyster po' boys. You can't forget it. And wash it down with one of our 8 beautifully cold beers on tap. And finish off with some beignets.
Fantastic. So, okay, tell us the address. Tell us how to get there. Telephone number, what people need to know.
All right. So the address is 703 4th Street. We're in the old location where LaBufa was. LaBufa was here 42 years, and we've rejuvenated it, and it's a little piece of New Orleans now. 703 4th Street. Our website is theparishcafe.com. Phone number is 707-843-7804. Like I said, we're open 7 days a week, 9 to 3, Sunday 8 to 2.
Man, oh man, I'm just so happy.
Well, I am too. You know, you're kind of leading the renaissance, I think, of downtown Santa Rosa, which, you know, has been kind of empty for a long time compared to all of the wonderful food towns around us. And so it's very exciting that you're going to go in there and, you know, as I say, lead this renaissance, have some different kind of food.
Yeah, I appreciate that, John. Y'all have been great support, and we're excited to be down here. I'm standing out front right now, and this is a real downtown. You got the sidewalk traffic's beautiful. People are smiling. The sun is shining. You know, we feel blessed to be here, indeed.
Well, it's a long-awaited day, the opening of the Parish Cafe. This coming Tuesday, 9 a.m., the door is open. Rob will be there, and he'll have hot beignet. He'll throw hot beignet at you as you come through the doors, open for breakfast and lunch until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then dinner is a nightly, 7 nights a week, Rob, for dinner?
No dinner.
No dinner at all.
Yeah. Our roots, yeah. We're just breakfast and lunch.
Okay.
So come on, get in, get your beignets and café au lait. And les élèves en roulés.
Magnificent. Congratulations. Yeah. We look forward to many happy times downtown.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all have a great day.
You bet. That's Chef Rob Lippincott, Parish Cafe. You heard it here on the Good Food Hour this morning, opening this Tuesday at 9 a.m. We'll be back, and we're going to chat with a fellow who's got one of the best websites on food, wouldn't you say?
I would agree.
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That coming up next on the Good Food Hour.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage. A variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Fun and cheese just go together. It's 3 days of cheese bliss at the 12th Annual California Artisan Cheese Festival at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, March 23rd through the 25th. On Friday, join 20 chefs and 20 rockstar cheesemongers as they duel to see who will make the best bite. Learn from the experts at the Saturday seminars and pairing demos. Backed by popular demand on Saturday night, it's cheese and cocktails. The perfect opportunity for you to choose your favorite cheese and spirit pairing. Start your Sunday with a multi-course bubbles brunch, then stroll through the artisan cheese tasting and marketplace where you can meet more than 25 cheesemakers. Buy and taste all things that go great with cheese, like wine, beer, ciders, jams, jellies, crackers, chocolate, and so much more from over 100 artisan producers. It's Cheese, Cheese, and More Cheese, March 23rd through 25th at our new location, the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Tickets will sell out, so get yours now at artisancheesefestival.com. That's artisancheesefestival.com.
For over 80 years, George Peterson Insurance has been protecting Northern California, helping businesses and individuals get the right coverage for their needs. George Peterson Insurance continues to grow their employer resources and services in the North Bay. So if you or your company needs personal insurance, business insurance, or help with employee benefits, George Peterson Insurance is committed to this promise. We've got your back. George Peterson Insurance Agency at gpins.com, license number 0603247.
A $50 gift certificate for just $25 to spend at Lupe's Diner and Agave Room on the Windsor Town Green. It's mysonomadeals.com. Lupe's is your place for the best craft cocktails and family recipes like chicken enchiladas with melted cheese and fajitas delivered sizzling to your table. Mysonomadeals.com is your place for the best deals on restaurants, family fun, and more. And right now, a $50 gift certificate to Lupe's Diner and Agave Room for just $25. Mysonomadeals.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, bringing you the best in food and beverage for 30-plus years. And here's one we have not explored yet, and that's one of John's favorite culinary websites, and it has become one of mine also. How did you stumble on Leet's Culinaria, John?
Somebody turned me onto it and said, you've got to read this because it's really interesting, and it's more than just recipes and things like that. It offers points of view about things. And I have become over the years just an avid follower of Leet's Culinaria. And all of us get so many things and, you know, email and all of that. And, you know, half of it gets deleted because you don't have time or don't want to read it or something. I never do that with Leet's Culinaria. I read it passionately.
Well, with that endorsement, I think it's time we bring David Leet on
the
show.
Yeah.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, John and Steve. How are you?
We're doing very well. First of all, spell your last name for us.
Sure. It's L-E-I-T-E. It's Portuguese, and it means milk in Portuguese.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know. So it's spelled L-E-I-T-E, but pronounced Leet.
Leet. In Portuguese, it's pronounced Leet.
Okay, and Leet's Culinaria. When did you start this, the website blog?
I started this in 1999. There were only two other food websites that I was three other food websites that I was aware of. One of them was Epicurious. One of them was FatGuy.com, which is no longer around. And one was Sally's Place. And then there was me.
And why did you start this? Did you come from a culinary background?
I didn't. I actually I come from a writing background. I was in advertising for many years, and I was a writer. And I wanted to write an article about growing up Portuguese and what that meant. And it got published in the Chicago Sun-Times. And I thought, this thing called the World Wide Web sounds interesting. I think it's going to take off. So I created a website, and I put that one article on there in hopes that I could send editors of magazines and newspapers there to read my work. And I thought it would be like an online portfolio. What I didn't realize was that back then, search engines such as Alta Vista, if you remember them, and Lycos, Google wasn't around, would spider the site, and then people were able to start finding recipes and articles on Portugal and Portuguese cuisine. That's what I started writing about a lot. And that's where my readership began all those years ago.
So were you a food guy or more cultural guy?
I was more of a cultural guy at that point. I started baking and started getting involved in food about a year before that because I really didn't do very much with food before that, and I really wanted to write about it and share that. So, and then from that point on, it really started to get to the point that I was taking classes. I went to Peter Kump's Culinary School before it became Institute of Culinary Education, and then I went there, and the French Culinary Institute. So I did bounce around a lot after that, but no, came from a writing background, a cultural background.
And so give us a brief overview of the site when we bring it up. What are some of the things that set you apart that you're really proud of that we should know about?
Well, how we began was besides my writing that I put on there, I wanted to share the books that I was finding that I loved, and I wanted to share them with our readers. For instance, Flo Breaker back then had a couple of books that come up. We have some recipes from John on there. But what sets us apart is right now we have more than 150 recipe testers. So all the recipes that we are sent to us from publishers, and we go through cookbooks and say we like this one and that one, we choose the ones that we'd like to put on the site, they go through a very tough recipe testing process. And a lot of them, believe it or not, just don't make it. Some of them bake it because they don't make it because they don't work. And a lot of them don't make it because they just, they work, but there's nothing special about them. So what actually ends up on the site has been so, number one, curated by what we choose, and then even more curated by the testing process. And we also have all of our testers write a review, and then we incorporate what the testers say into the recipe, so therefore you're not going to make a slight mistake that maybe one of our testers did. So you're getting the benefit of all these testers who range from home cooks with 1 year experience to professional cooks. And I think that's what really sets us apart.
So what's your opinion of the world of recipes? I often find that there are lots of interesting sounding recipes, but as you point out, for one reason or another, they don't work. They don't. They're hard to understand. It assumes a level of skill that maybe a lot of people don't have. Do you feel that way, or are recipes getting better?
I think what's happening is, if I may be very frank, I think that because of the internet, this has all been democratized, which is wonderful. You don't need to, like, get in the New York Times, like when I used to write for the Times. You don't have to do that now to get a very big audience. But a lot of these bloggers and a lot of people who have websites don't have recipe testing staffs and didn't go through the gauntlet we all did of learning how to write recipes, learning how to write about food. And they may make it once or twice, and it's very successful in their home, and they put it up. But the thing is, it can't always stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. It can't stand the barrage of 250, 800 people, 1,000 people making it. And someone can anticipate the problems. And so I do find that it's very hard. I only go to very specific sites. I mean, I cook from my site an awful lot, but I'll cook from some of the larger sites that I really, really trust and some blogs that I trust, too.
Can you share some of those with us?
Sure. I will. I turn to Epicurious an awful lot. Mm-hmm. I think Epicurious has some very good recipes. Also, Bon Appetit, Saveur. I go to Sever, also the New York Times. Those are also Simply Recipes, which is a website blog. Those are some of the ones that I will go to if we don't have it on the site because, you know, we can't, we've got thousands and thousands of recipes, but unlike something like Epicurious, where they have such a huge staff, they can put on 50 recipes a week. We can't do that. We don't have the manpower to do that. And those are some of the sites that I will go to. And one of the things that we do that I'm very proud of is that if someone writes in and has made a recipe and it doesn't quite work, we write them a lot of times privately or have a conversation with them on the phone privately to really, really understand what happened. And many times it's because they've substituted one kind of flour or they don't like almond flour, so they use something else, and it doesn't work that way. But if there's something that they've done that we realize that we missed, that there's a possibility that a reader could misinterpret what we wrote, we go back in and we rewrite that recipe. Mm-hmm. So every recipe is really a living organism on the site.
How do you become a tester for Leeds Culinary?
All you have to do is sign up.
Is that right?
And depending upon your background and depending upon our need at that point, we open the doors and we welcome in groups of people at a time. And we really do ask that there's a commitment. There's a certain number of recipes our tester has to make during a particular month. And they have to make at least one recipe per testing session. And many will do two and three, which is wonderful. And they also have to be able to write well and give succinct and helpful reviews. Because a lot of our readers will rely upon that. And what's really lovely is that we'll have readers who go, you know, Cindy Kruth is such a great tester, and they will follow Cindy's reviews. Mm-hmm. And they will make things because they know Cindy, or they know Dan Cran, or they know Karen Depp. And they know these testers over the years, and then they follow them. And they find that they have the same taste or something, and they trust that particular tester.
We're talking with David Leet. His blog website is Leet's Culinaria. It's L-E-I-T-E-S. In quotes, it's hot food and dry wit. Well, you've displayed both during this conversation. I was looking at the website this morning, and I see St. Patrick's Day recipes, homemade corned beef hash, beef and Guinness pie, Irish potato pancake, and then an extensive Passover selection also.
Yes.
Especially, I like that you included something light like pavlova. After a Passover meal, you need pavlova.
Light, right? The balance. End of a Passover meal, absolutely, when you're breaking fast.
And I like matzah palooza also. Mm-hmm. That was another interesting recipe.
Yeah, we have 100 things to do with matzah.
So do you end up from year to year, do you ever repeat things?
You mean on the website?
Yeah. Yeah, like repeat recipes, something that really worked, you know. It's like St. Pat's or something like that.
Yes. What we'll do, like I'm looking at our St. Patrick's Day selection, also our Passover selection, and what we'll do is we always add every year new recipes to a holiday or to a season, but what we find is when you're on the internet, you're always getting new people. You're always getting new readers. And, you know, everyone's so rushed these days that they don't take the time to go through and really kind of browse through a site. So what we do is we bring something back up. We will retest it oftentimes just to make sure it's still working the way it's supposed to, or rewrite it a bit, maybe take a different photograph, and then put it back up. And they see that it's an archived recipe because it'll say originally published on May 10th, 2010 or something. And it's introducing it to a whole new audience. And it's always surprising to me that there are people who don't know some of our most popular recipes. And yet every year, whenever we do it, more people discover it. And a lot of times that becomes their in to the site.
Well, it's funny that you're thinking 1999. It seems like in the world of websites, you have a heritage website.
Mm-hmm. I do. That's like dinosaur years.
No, but that's good. That means it's worth preserving. You also have a number of other features, some columnists, one called Never Cook Naked by Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein. And there's Leet's Loves, a column that you write, and there's Food History and Science. And then there's some giveaways. People can win cookbooks, too, on this website.
Yes, there's a very big giveaway section, and It started with we would get books from publishers, and we thought, well, why don't we share that with our readers? And then it went from there and got bigger. And then there's also the David blog, which is my particular blog where I do my own writing with my own life and whatever's going on with me. And so there are people who, you know, that's the dry wit. People will come for my writing. They like the humor. And other people will come just for the food. Some come for both. So there really is a whole panoply, a whole buffet, if you will, things that people can enjoy.
David, where is it all going? You know, a controversial question is, you know, the future of magazines, culinary magazines, they seem to be fading away.
Yeah.
Is that happening in the internet too, or not?
I don't think so much of the internet. I think actually that's where everything is going at the moment. A lot of the magazines, a lot of the newspapers are shrinking, but their online presence is getting larger. Because it's unlike a magazine. If you think about it, in the old days, you would have to keep 20, 30, 150 copies of magazines. I know, probably like both of you, I had years and years worth of gourmet magazines.
I still have them.
Okay, there you go.
Do you want some?
And when by putting them online, all this information, it's always there. Mm-hmm. There's this legacy of these recipes and these articles that are placed there that you can always go back to. And I know sometimes we take recipes off the site because they're not particularly popular, and we want to be able to make sure that what we have is really the best of the best and the most popular amongst our readers. And we have millions and millions of readers every year. And inevitably, every time I take a recipe off, within a week, I get someone writing, "Where's that recipe for such and such? I love that recipe." And I'm like, well, then why don't you write a comment so we know, because we don't always know what people think. So there's this silent, this stealthy reader that I think, you know, so many people are stealthy readers. They go out there, they use the website constantly, but we don't really know. But I think that, I don't know about both of you, I have hundreds and hundreds of cookbooks. And what I'll first do is I will look on the internet to see if I can find Marcello Hassan's recipe for such and such before I have to go flipping through the book, or Jim Leahy's bread for a recipe for white pizza, instead of going into the book, because it's easier.
Yeah.
It's an easier way of searching.
Well, you can easily subscribe just by typing in Leet's Culinaria. Is it simple as that, David?
Yeah, all they have to do is the shortcut, because Leet's Culinaria, little did I know back then that Leet's Culinaria, I was going to be saddled with it and no one's going to know how to spell it. but the shortcut to get to the site is lccooks.com. Think Lucky Charms, cooks.com. So lccooks.com. That'll get you to the website, and you can subscribe to my newsletter for my blog, or you can subscribe to the general newsletter, which gives you all the recipes. Or if you're on the giveaway pages, you can sign up just for a giveaway newsletter.
Marvelous. Well, let's chat again in the not-too-distant future, okay, David?
I would love that. And happy St. Patrick's Day to both of you.
Thank you.
You
nice
too.
Having you on the show.
Take care.
Bye-bye. David Leet from Leet's Culinaria. We'll be back, and we'll talk about a restaurant that has just knocked the socks off the Bay Area in the past couple of weeks, and the person that developed all the recipes is on the show next. It's Steve Garner, John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage, a variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from a variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, this is Jamie from the Sonoma County Home and Garden Show, and I'm inviting you to join us this weekend at the fairgrounds. For 30 years, my family's been committed to bringing you the best resources for all your home improvement needs. And this year, more than ever, we're committed to helping those in the process of rebuilding their homes and their lives. Along with the North Coast Builders Exchange, local agencies, and businesses, the show is focused on offering services, resources, and job opportunities to help those in need as well as those looking to refresh or remodel. Employment assistance, Tainer containers, how to hire a contractor seminars, and a variety of other helpful resources will be offered. A tiny home complete survival package will also be on display, as well as SPCA pet adoption services. Whether you're rebuilding or refreshing, we promise to offer inspiring solutions. Join us at the 30th Annual Home and Garden Show this weekend, March 16th through the 18th at the fairgrounds.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Relatively dry weekend ahead. Today, partly cloudy. May have a shower or two. High 55, 52 on the coast. A few clouds tonight. Low 36, 35 on the shores. Mostly cloudy for Sunday at 58, 53 in Bodega Bay. Monday, sunny at 64, 60 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, 30 years here in Santa Rosa, bringing you the best in food and beverage both near and beyond. And if we go a little bit beyond into the Bay Area, one of the most frequently written about restaurants was something called Wursthall and Beer House. And we started hearing rumors about this about a year ago or so, and we heard that Kenji Lopez Alt was involved. Kenji's the culinary director for Serious Eats, one of the best websites. We had Kenji on a couple of years ago for his debut cookbook, The Food Lab Cookbook, Better Home Cooking Through Science, a book we still refer to. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we said, this is the best book we've seen in years. And sure enough, it won Best Cookbook of the Year. Kenji was brought on board to develop the menu of Wursthall Restaurant and Beer House, and it finally has debuted, finally opened, and he's here to tell us about the experience. Good morning, Kenji, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So when did the restaurant finally open?
Well, we officially had our grand opening this past Monday, so the 12th, March 12th, but we've been in sort of soft opening friends and family for a few weeks now, so we had a little bit of time to practice before we opened fully to the public, which is actually very, very helpful for us.
So what was the genesis for the restaurant? Where did the idea of, because there aren't many, I don't think, many sausage houses in the Bay Area.
There's a few of them. There are several that are sort of pretty traditional. There aren't that many that I would consider sort of modern, mm-hmm. Which is what we're trying to do. The idea actually came from my two partners, Adam Simpson and Tyson Mao. They grew up in San Mateo, and they actually own a beer and wine bar here called Grape and Grain. And they've been looking to expand into restaurants for a while, and so this space opened up. It's a historic building. It's really beautiful. And when the space opened up, they sort of decided, well, what kind of concept would work in this space? And because it has so much, very, very high ceilings, like 30-foot ceilings, floor-to-ceiling windows, is very bright in there, and it feels sort of almost outdoors. And so the idea of doing a beer hall in there just seemed kind of natural. It also sort of fit the vibe, the service style that we were going for, which is, casual and family-friendly, but a little bit upscale. So it's not, you know, it's the kind of place where you can sit down and join your party or come, you know, stand around by the bar and order some food as you, or order food in waves as you drink through an afternoon. But it's also the kind of place you can come with your kids. We have a little kids area. So, you know, it's not like a romantic date night spot, but it's really sort of a fun, casual spot. And that's why the beer hall seemed like a good thing to go with.
How much sous vide are you doing in the restaurant?
How much sous vide are we doing? A little bit, a fair amount. We're doing, so we have a dish, so we have a whole section on the menu called brat kartoffel, so fried potatoes, essentially. And so we have fried potatoes with a few different sort of accompaniments. One of them we're doing with bacon that's cooked sous vide for 24 hours and then fried, so it's sort of creamy on the inside and crispy on the outside. We use sous vide for that. We use sous vide for our vegan doner kebab, which is made from the ground meat from Impossible Foods, which we sort of bind with transglutaminase flavor with Turkish spices and then cook it sous vide, slice it and sear it to order. Some of our sausages are cooked sous vide. We have a few dishes also that we'll keep rotating on and off that we'll utilize.
And the doner kebab you mentioned, is that one of your favorite dishes on the menu?
It is probably my favorite dish on the menu. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I'm not even vegan, but it's really good.
And what's been the most difficult recipe dishes to execute consistently?
There's a couple, honestly, they're the simplest ones. So all of our entrees come with a side of potato salad, so our house potato salad, and getting that consistently has been a major, major challenge. First of all, and I'm sure you know this, but, you know, potatoes change year-round and even from delivery to delivery. So, you know, it's not as simple as saying, you know, put this in a pot, bring it to a boil, let it cook for 15 minutes, because what's 15 minutes one day might take 18 minutes the next day or 12 days the next day. So a lot of it is getting that potato consistency exactly right when we're cooking them. And that's a matter of both training the techniques of how to cook them to the cooks, as well as training them how to taste things so that they know what they're looking for. So potato salad has been pretty tough to get right every time. And then the other one is our chicken schnitzel, which is, it's the most popular thing on the menu. The real challenge with it is, there's a couple things. First of all, you know, for really good schnitzel, you want a coating that's pretty much as thin as possible, like thin and a little bit puffy is what we go for. Making sure that it doesn't get overbreaded, things like that has been a little bit tough because I think a lot of cooks are used to working at, say, especially in this area, like Italian or Japanese restaurants where you might have like a chicken parmesan or a chicken katsu. And at first glance, they seem like pretty much the same technique as making a schnitzel, but the details make it really different. And so part of that training is training them how to make a schnitzel that is not breaded like a chicken parmesan.
Wow.
So for our chicken, like we basically brine it in sauerkraut juice. So we make our own sauerkraut, and then we take the brine from that, and we soak the chicken in it overnight. Then the next day, we very, very carefully dry it, like stack it between towels and press it to dry it. We flour eggs that have been blended to get them really nice and thin. They get dried again after going in the egg wash, and then they go into panko breadcrumbs that we grind in a robo-coupe and then sort of push them through a fine mesh screen so that the grind size of the breadcrumbs is very, very fine. The final challenge with the chicken schnitzel is that if it sits overnight, then any excess breading that's on it sort of it gets moisture from inside the chicken and it clumps up in this sort of uneven way. So when you fry it the next day, you don't get that sort of really nice, even golden brown color. You get like sort of like some darker areas, some lighter areas, and it's a little splotchy. So breading fresh every single day is really key to that as well. And when you're selling like 100 of them a night, it's not a short process to do that every day.
So what is the sauerkraut brine? I mean, I can understand it would contribute flavor, but does it tenderize the chicken also?
It helps to retain juiciness. So, it behaves like any other brine where the salt will break down a little bit of the muscle protein so that when the chicken subsequently fries, it doesn't contract as much, so more moisture stays inside it. So yeah, so it's a little bit of flavor, but it's really just about the juiciness. And also, you know, as a restaurant, we want to make sure that we're using we want to throw away as little stuff as possible. Mm-hmm. So if we can get a second use out of that sauerkraut brine, that's great for us. It just means that we don't have to make a separate brine just for the chicken.
So, do you have a German Austrian? You don't strike me as being a German Austrian kind of guy.
Excuse me. Well, my father is from Western Pennsylvania, German descent. That's where the Alt, that's a German last name. That's where that comes from. But no, I don't have, you know, my family is German American, or one side of my family is German American, but I don't really have many strong ties to it.
You also, and what you
Germany
have,
or Austria.
And the good old Austrian German pretzels, were the pretzels difficult to nail, or did those come together pretty quickly?
So those we're working with when I moved to San Mateo 4 years ago, a friend of a friend was a home baker, a German woman from Leipzig, who was a home baker. She made, you know, was making really great bread, like working from like the Tartine book and a couple other books, was making really great bread at home and then also doing some German style stuff. And so over the last few years, she's developed that into a cottage industry where they were doing deliveries of bread, all baked in their home oven. And now her and her husband, they rent space in a commercial kitchen space called Kitchen Town in San Mateo. And they, and they sell their bread, at the farmer's markets on weekends, but they also bake, all of the bread we use in house. And I've actually partnered with them as well. And we're going to be opening up a brick and mortar bakery later in the summer.
Wow.
In the San Mateo area?
Yeah, just a few blocks away from the restaurant.
Wow. So they make
all of our buns, all of our bread.
Having the right bun is really important, isn't it, for good sausages.
Actually I misspoke. So they make the buns for our sandwiches and our pretzels and all that, all the other bread, but the sausage buns we get from a bakery called La Boulangerie, which is, you know, they have several locations in the Bay Area, but they make a lobster roll style bun, so like it's a top split hot dog bun, and you know, we decided to use that partly just as a sort of nod to my time in New England and my love of buttered lobster rolls. So we use these buns that are they're buttered on the side. And toasted, and then split on the top. It's like a soft white bread, lots of butter. It's good.
So one of the things that you offer at that very end of the menu is the sausage party, the chef's choice. You can get six sausages. Obviously, that's for multiple people, but have you had anybody come in and order that for themselves?
We've had, I don't know about a single person, but we've definitely had parties of two.
That's great. It's fantastic.
We eat it all.
We're almost out of time. I noticed you. Is it only one dessert, a pumpkin seed sundae, vanilla ice cream, pumpkin seed brittle, pumpkin seed oil, and smoked sea salt, or do you have another dessert?
There is only one dessert. it's mainly because, so for a while we were toying with a few different desserts, but then this was the one that it sort of reads a little bit funny, and you're like, oh, I don't really feel like that. But then every single person who eats it is like, oh, wow, this is like way better than I thought it would be. So it's one of those things where it's like, we want you to order this because you'll be surprised at how good it is.
Well, we want to make it down to see you in San Mateo as soon as possible, Kenji. It's Versthal Restaurant and Beer House. And do you take reservations?
We don't. It's first come, first serve, and it's sort of open format seating. So you basically just seat yourself and a server comes by to your table. Well, although currently we have a line basically from 5 till 8:30 p.m. every night, and so we've been trying to expedite the seating process by helping people find tables. But eventually it's going to be open format seating.
Well, we're very excited for the success of the restaurant and looking forward to the bakery when that opens. Mm-hmm. We'll check in again soon, and hopefully we'll see you down there.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Hope to see you soon.
Great talking to you. Kenji Lopez-Alt, the amazing chef and restaurateur.
He is the best writer about food. And as we were talking off the air, highly opinionated.
Yes, which we like a great deal. Yeah. We'll be back, and the Artisan Cheese Festival is right around the corner. We'll tell you all about it after this.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Hello, Stan Klaus of Crandall Roofing here. You know, if you're like most people, unless you have water entering your home, you aren't thinking about your roof during the winter. But let me let you in on a little industry secret. Spring is the time of year when service is at its best and industry wait times are at their shortest.
Hold on! Stan's way too busy looking for more full-time employees to finish this commercial. So if you're a highly qualified roofing foreman who wants to make a San Francisco County income without the hour-plus commute, they'd like to speak with you. If you're currently a roof installer who needs a full-time position, Crandall Roofing offers a competitive income and great benefits. Call 586-2500 and set up an interview today. Again, they're looking for installers and a qualified roofing foreman, and they certainly hope that person is you. Crandall Roofing is an equal opportunity employer. Call 586-2500. That's Crandall Roofing of Santa Rosa. 586-2500.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
You know Creams Towing for cars, but Creams Towing can handle even the biggest jobs. Need a motorhome towed? Call Creams. Are you a rancher that needs large equipment moved? Tractors or horse transport trailers are no problem for Creams Towing.
Just call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Creams Towing, this is Arlene. With competitive rates and certified Class A drivers, Creams can tow 24/7. They can handle rollovers, heavy-duty accident recovery, and winch out.
Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Be a hero on the highway. Call Creams, 588-1250.
Let's be real, guys. A nice suit outperforms jeans and tees any day of the week. And at the JCPenney Men's Wardrobe Sale, with 50% off select suits, sport coats, dress pants, and more, you can dress the part without spending a ton. Check out Collection by Michael Strahan exclusively at JCPenney. And visit the Big and Tall shop for sizes up to 5XL and 54-inch waist in-store. Plus, save an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney. Style and value for all. Coupon valid 315 to 321. Some exclusions apply. Subject to credit approval. See store jcp.com for details.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Well, I can't believe that it was about 12 years ago when I said it was the first annual Artisan Cheese Festival. And here it is again, the Artisan Cheese Festival, in a new location from Petaluma all these years to right around the corner to the fairgrounds. It's all next week, March 23rd to the 25th. We have some tickets to give away to an exclusive event. It's sensational. In just a few minutes, Michelle Marquis is here as part of the festival. What should we be, what are some of the highlights, and what are some of the events that have not sold out yet, and there's a few tickets left? So give us the rundown.
Oh my goodness. Well, we did open up a couple of the farm tours. We had availability. Now, the farm tours usually sell out. Yeah. We put the tickets on sale on New Year's Eve, and generally some of those farm tours, because they're so popular, they sell out within the first 2 weeks. So it's amazing that there are still opportunities to go on a farm tour. As of today, you could still go on one of these. Is on Friday the 23rd, and you stop at different dairies, at artisan producers. You get behind the scenes tastings. There's seminars during. There's a stop at Strauss Home Ranch, which is fantastic on one of these tours, on Tour A, and some new places. I think there might be still a ticket. There's one ticket for Sensory Sebastopol with a stop at the new cheesemaker, William Cofield, that's doing English-style Stilton and cheddar. And he's amazing. And there's lunch at Zazu there. So, I mean, there's amazing opportunities. So check out the farm tours. There's generally just one ticket left because that's all we had available, but those are really fun.
And that's on Friday the 23rd.
That's on Friday the 23rd. In the evening, we have a wonderful thing called the Best Bite, and that's what we're going to give away tickets to. The Best Bite is a walk around tasting. We highlight our cheesemakers at this because they're really the focus of the entire cheese festival. Festival. They'll be there with a table sampling just little bites of their cheeses so you can see what it's like just to taste that cheese as it is. Then on either side of them, we have a cheesemonger, who is that cheese expert you see at the cheese counter, and they will have been given one of the cheeses from the cheesemaker earlier that day, and they have to come up with something fantastic sort of on the fly, right? So they know all about cheese and about pairing. And so they'll put it on a cracker. They'll maybe pair it with a little bit of slice of charcuterie, some sort of little drizzle of something. They do amazing things. They're very, very fun. And on the other side of the cheesemaker is a chef. The chef is known for, you know, a longer time what they're going to do. And they've prepared a cooked some sort of wonderful thing with a cheese from that cheesemaker. So you really see the versatility of what a cheese can do by on a little fresh little bite and then cooked into something sweet or savory. It's very fun.
Are there beverage pairings going
yes,
on?
Yes, there are. I'm glad you asked. We have winemakers, brewers, and cider makers on site too on Friday night. And so you can walk around with your glass and taste to your heart's content. It's very fun. And we have entertainment too, so that'll be very cool.
What time is that?
That is from 6 to 9 p.m. on Friday night, and okay. That is in the Hall of Flowers. So this is nice because we moved from the Sheraton where we had been doing a lot of things in a large sort of double tent in the parking lot there, and we're indoors. I'm so excited about this.
Let it rain, let it rain.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know. I'm hoping the weather's going to be nice, but whether still. it's nice or not, we're indoors at the Hall of Flowers, which gives us more room, and we're protected with that room.
So that's Friday. Great. That's Saturday, of course, all the seminars.
And we have expanded the seminars. We bumped it up to 8 this year. We had done just 6 last year, and sometimes we do more, sometimes we do less. I'm really excited about the seminars. There's
and
all
which,
kinds of wonderful
which
things.
Ones are available still to attend?
Well, we have Exploring Your Palate with Juliana Uriburu. Mm-hmm. So this is a really nice opportunity to meet with her. That's a morning session. Mysteries of Fresh Cheese. This is with the Cowgirls. So Peg and then also Deborah Dickerson from Cowgirl will be there. So that's very cool. That's a morning session. We have Cheese and Charcuterie. This one is nearly sold out. Mm-hmm. This is done by Vanessa Chang, who is a wonderful food expert. She worked for Creminelli for quite some time. So she is doing this charcuterie board with cheese and oh my goodness, we've been ordering behind the scenes all the things that you're going to try. So there's honey and there's pickles and oh my goodness, there's so much good stuff. So that's going to be great. In the afternoon, we have openings still very few for a beer and cheese pairing with hoppy and sour beers. These are the trendy beers that everyone's really into. So how do you pair cheese with these kinds of beers? That's with Rich Higgins. He's a certified Cicerone. Then we have tasting cheese like a pro. This is from a cheese judge. So this is very cool to be able to learn the ins and outs of judging cheese. That's pretty cool. How do you know what is a good cheese? We have the art of melting cheese. So mac and cheese and grilled cheese with the cheese twins. There's a couple seats still available for that one. And then we have sold out of our bubbles and cheese. Oh, no, wait, we have a few tickets for that. Sorry, I misspoke. Cheers to Cheese and Bubbles. We do have a couple of tickets left for that. That is, oh my goodness, my brain is going away. It's...
That's
I can't
okay.
remember the name of the winemaker, but it's cheese and sparkling wine.
Okay.
And then cheese and cocktails, too.
Ooh. So right now, if somebody wanted to call about that, and we'll give this information again, if somebody wanted to reserve a ticket for these ones, how do they do that?
ArtisanCheeseFestival.com. That's the website. And you can go there, click on buy tickets, and you purchase your tickets.
So we've taken care of Saturday.
Except for Saturday night.
And that is?
That is cheese and cocktails. So we have a seminar with a bitters maker, Napa Valley Bitters, with cheese and some cocktails. But then we have a really fun event, a walk around tasting with 10 different distillers, 2 bitters makers, and then our cheese makers. Mm. And we're bringing back the fantasy cheese table. I love the fantasy cheese table.
And what is that?
This is curated by our cheese professionals at Whole Foods Market. And our cheese makers have offered up different cheeses for this table. So it's all cut up and prepared and able for you to take a little bite and nibbles. And then they've also got jams and spreads and fruit and crackers and all different kinds of accoutrements, so you can make a great pairing. And you can ask the whole food professional there, what is best with this blue? What should I, how should I eat it? And they'll tell you. And it's just, it feels like it's acres of cheese. It's not that much, but that's what it feels like.
And then Sunday, big events.
Sunday, of course, is so popular. We have our Bubbles Brunch with Gloria Ferrer Bubbles. And Chef Ash has been our host for this in years past. Mm-hmm. This year, we have Chef Sergio Monleon. He is from La Marca Tapas Bar in Berkeley. And so he's going to be leading our demo and creating the menu for us. So it's a multi-course brunch with cheese in every course and Bubbles from Gloria Ferrer, which is fantastic. And Clark Wolf is emceeing this.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's very cool.
Are there tickets available?
There are still tickets available. And the nice thing is, if you buy your tickets for the brunch, you get early entry. It's included into the marketplace, which happens right after that. So from noon to four, our brunch people get in at 11. From noon to four is the marketplace. This is over 100 vendors. About a quarter of them are our cheesemakers. And then we've got everything from jams, jellies, honeys, chocolate, crackers, cheese boards, knives, all kinds of things that go great with cheese. So you can walk around. And again, beer, wine, and cider for you to try. So you're tasting. You're definitely tasting during the market. But you also get a chance to buy directly from these suppliers.
So do you still have those cool little insulated bags?
We do. Yes. In fact, I got to design them and order them. Yeah. And so, yes, we have thousands of bags that are coming so that people can have a little insulated bag. It has an ice pack in it so you can keep your purchases nice and cool with you. And you get a logo glass and get to take that with you. We've got some live entertainment. We have someone coming in who's making grilled cheese. They're called Golden Brown Delicious, which is such a fun name for a cheese, a grilled cheese place. And so, you can buy grilled cheese from them too.
Are they a food truck or is it a stand?
I don't think they're a food truck, but they're a food booth. So they'll be there.
Grilled cheese. This guy, you know, he knows a lot about food.
He does. You know a lot. Yeah. And this is, they're using artisan cheese too in this. So it is
well, fun. We did too. That was why we didn't make any money.
I told him to go with Velveeta. Just wouldn't listen to me. He'd rather go bankrupt. So the artisancheesefestival.com, and the tickets we're going to be giving away to the big best, the best bite, which is what, 20 mongers, 20 chefs, 20 cheesemakers competing for the best bite. Is this by vote? Does the people vote?
Yeah, actually we have, this year we're doing a tribute to our first responders. Of course, it's interesting that we're right back there at the fairgrounds where they all were, right? That was home base. But we've invited some of our heroes from there to help us as judges. On our panel, so that'll be really fun. So there'll be a judges panel, but there's also an opportunity for guests to vote too. You just get out your cell phone and you text into your favorite, whichever one is your favorite.
So kind of a people's choice.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a people's choice too. Yeah.
So there's two different awards, the professional people's awards and then the judges people's awards. Choice awards.
Yep.
Man, oh man.
It's so fun.
Wow. Well,
I'm so busy.
You know, you mentioned when you think about 12 years ago, I mean, it was a wonderful event then, but it was
tiny. Pretty small.
It was tiny.
And how many fantastic cheesemakers in the past dozen years have come.
I know.
And more on the horizon too.
We have had about 6 or 7 cheesemakers that have been with us since the beginning. Yeah. And that's really exciting. And they're so encouraging too. These cheesemakers are open and they share and they encourage and they mentor other cheesemakers, which is really great.
Wow. Well, you know, since this is the 12th annual, right? Maybe your favorite number?
I think it could be 12.
I don't want to plant that suggestion because it's really your decision, Michelle.
Sure, no, I like 12.
You want to do 12? Caller number 12 at 636-1350 will win a pair of tickets to the Friday night, March 23rd, 6 to 9 p.m., The Best Bite, a tribute to first responders at the Hall of Flowers, Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Caller number 12 at 636-1350. And compliments of KSRO, the Good Food Hour, and the Artisan Cheese Festival. Wow.
Okay, one more time. If people want info, they better get it now.
Yes. Yeah. The best place to go to buy tickets and to get information and to see which items are sold out is artisancheesefestival.com. Again, that's artisancheesefestival.com. We've got the full schedule. We have all of our participants. You can buy tickets, all of it right there.
Michelle, is there another cheese festival like this in the country? There's not, is there?
I've looked. Actually, I just saw that Washington State has announced their cheese festival, but it's one day, and it has like three wineries, and that's it. And you would think, you know, Washington State could pull that off, but they just, I don't know.
Thank you for coming in, and may the cheese be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chef John Ash.
It's great to see you.
We'll talk again next week, and thanks, everybody. Steve Garner for Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour. Stick around at the table with Clark Wolf following the news.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage, a variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Thousands of years ago, human civilization depended on the quest for fire. Since 1960, that quest leads to just one place, Malm Fireplace Center. For indoor or outdoor fireplaces, Malm Fireplace Center has tamed the flame, offering high-quality, beautiful, efficient fires that won't burn your bank account. Satisfy your burning desires at Malm Fireplace Center, 368 Yolanda Avenue in Santa Rosa, or online at malmfireplacecenter.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's high noon at KSRO Santa Rosa.